this is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we didn't get to during the course of the show today. And thank you so much for being a potty. I'm going to thank you in advance. I know I always thank you at the end of the podcast, but you know what? You're worth it. And we would not have anything to do after our show except go home if it weren't for you. Wait a minute. You're making us work. What is wrong with you? Here's some of the stuff we didn't get to. This was really interesting, man. I've been vulnerable about my opinions with everything, but like when it comes to COVID, I haven't shied away from saying what I think. And one of the things that I was talking about early on, you know, is the government tries to get compliance for vaccinations because they believe this is the way to, you know, solve the pandemic crisis. And so if they believe that, then it would make sense that they want people to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So they've provided free vaccinations and made it easy to do. To their credit, to the government's credit, they've made it really easy mm-hmm. to get booster shots. Testing has been really great. Like, mm-hmm. so our country has it better than so many other countries. Mm-hmm. But again, vaccinations are very polarizing. And so what they did was they put it back on private business, though, because there were certain rules they couldn't enforce. So they put it back on private businesses, and then they penalized them financially for not adhering to the rules. And so the businesses become the police in this instance with the vaccine. And so it's really difficult. And so a couple things happen. They either want to make it very inconvenient for you to not be vaccinated so that mm-hmm. you will just give in and go get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Or they want to now hit you in the pocketbook. So this was interesting. Unvaccinated Nevada state workers, so people who work for the government in Nevada, they are going to have to pay a insurance surcharge on their health insurance of $55 per month if they are not vaccinated.
That's a lot of money.
So basically, their health insurance just went up $55 a month solely because they are not vaccinated.
That's not right.
$660
a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And for some people, man, you're living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and you'll feel that, you know.
That's bullying someone to do what you want them
to. That's what I've been saying from the beginning.
But
of
then
this.
They're probably saying, "Well, you're costing us. You could be costing us money because you're gambling on not getting mm-hmm. COVID and then pushing our healthcare system."
That's twofold. One is that, like, well, they say, well, if you're not vaccinated, you're probably going to get sick at some point, and then you're going to be a drain on the health system. Mm-hmm. But the other reason is because workers who are not vaccinated in state positions, they haven't done the mandate yet. The government was mandating that you be vaccinated, and they haven't been able to push that completely through. And a lot of companies are saying, we're not doing that. But the alternative was you have to then submit to testing every week. So what they're doing is they're saying, well, if you are not vaccinated, you're going to have to be tested every week, and you're going to basically be paying for this, you know, collectively as the unvaccinated, since you're the problem. Again, it sets an us and them situation up that is really long-term dangerous for us. And, I mean, the funny thing is, too, you think about, like, how crazy private we are with HIPAA laws and everything, and I couldn't get my daughter's medical records from college if I had to, you know? But this is basically saying, well, you're not vaccinated. We've put a scarlet letter on you. And again, I'm vaccinated, but boy, howdy, I am, that was my choice, but I'm really big on personal choice. And if someone doesn't get vaccinated, I don't care. Don't get vaccinated all day long. Good for you. Like, I have zero problem with that.
So what did the Nevada, or where was
it? Nevada, yeah.
Yeah, what did those people say?
Well, there'll be pushback. Everything gets challenged, obviously. The good news inside of this is that government is working like government does, and it's very slow. And so this won't go into effect until, I think, July of 2022. So maybe by then everything chills out, you know, and we have a different set. Who knows? This thing changes month to month. Omicron shows up, and now all of a sudden we've got new rules for everything, new travel rules, and all of a sudden you're locking down countries again, and it just... I'm real curious if we're ever going to truly be out of this. When you look back at the there was a pandemic that we had in the 20s, I think it was, and it killed a lot of people. But it was weird. Like theirs, I think, was 2 years, and then no, it was I don't remember. But like it was a 2 year pandemic. I think it was the same type thing as this. It was like a 2 year pandemic, and then it balanced itself out. You know, circle of life, things went on. You know, and so it's weird with all of our medicine today and all of our advancements. We're at that 2 year mark, you know, and we're still dealing with it. And why is that? I'm real curious as to why that is.
Influenza.
Yeah. So the flu. I mean, it's basically a flu,
which we still have around.
Right. Yeah. We haven't been able to eradicate that. So it's just. I called this early on in this thing, you know, talking about how the way the government is going to get compliance is to, you know, restrict your freedom or hit you in the pocketbook. Those are the only ways you're going to motivate people. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I contend this, and I do believe I'm right, is that the vast majority of people, if they are choosing not to get vaccinated, they have deep reasons for not wanting to, and this will entrench them in their decision. Because now you can be a martyr. Now you can be a victim. Well, look at what the government's doing to me. Mm-hmm. So you are just going to further, by doing this, you're just going to further them not wanting to get the vaccine. And because now it's a calling card. Look, they're going after me, you know, financially, but I'm paying for it because I believe so strongly in what I believe in. And so I think this is not a good avenue because you're not going to change most people's opinion on this because they're doing it for way deeper reasons than, you know, just to not be difficult, because they're doing it for way deeper reasons than, oh, I'm just going to be difficult, you know? And so I just think it's not the course of action to change hearts and minds like this with mandates and with, you know, penalties. It just doesn't look at when they did this with health insurance, and they said, well, if you don't, during Obamacare, if you don't have health insurance, you're going to be fined. And people were like, I'm still not getting it. You know, it's like because they either A, couldn't afford it or didn't want to. You know, you can't force people to do stuff. You have to encourage them for deeper reasons and core level reasons as to why you need to get vaccinated. Like for me, mine came after I saw a couple people in my industry who had been very vocal about not being vaccinated, and they got COVID and they died. And there's an irony to that and a tragedy to that. And I thought about it and I thought, well, I could see that happening to me. I could see me being vocal about, yeah, I just don't think it's that, you know, in my life, it's not that big of a deal. And I don't think I would, you know, I could see me dying, you know? And when I thought about that, I thought, okay, if this helps me personally get through this and not get as sick or whatever, then okay, I'm going to make that decision. And so that was my decision, but I don't think I should be forced into it. I don't think anyone should be forced into it, coerced into it. I think you have that That right, but that was that core decision that was in my soul of, I don't want to die tragically. I don't want to be that guy that goes, mm-hmm. that people go, man, if he had just done this, you know, and so that story hit me.
Yeah, I think the difference is that this making people pay extra for their health insurance is the easy way out. It's mm-hmm. the way to get your way, and it's the easy way. The harder yeah. way would be, and I'm not really sure, is to somehow get people to find their why. Right. Why they're getting it. And if they find that, then they're much more liable to comply. And so I know that was like what you were saying.
I found my why.
And that's what I found my why too. So but that's going to take a lot more hard work. Yeah. It's going to take more.
Takes more tact too. And like, yeah, it's easy to legislate.
Person.
Yeah, it's easy to legislate, but to do something creatively that moves people's hearts. Mm-hmm. That's why you have campaigns all the time, like during war campaigns and things like that, that are win the hearts and minds of the people that you're fighting and things like that, because they're trying to find the and tap into those deeper levels with people, because that's where you get long term change. You can affect people's behavior. We see it in Christianity all the time. Like, if you look at somebody and they come to faith, one of the first things we do inside of the church is we say, well, you got to stop drinking, got to stop smoking, got to stop gambling, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. Because we're looking at the behavior and say, well, these aren't the behaviors that we like. So you got to stop all of these. And then you can, you know, you'll be a believer. Well, you can behavior modify for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You can alter your behavior for a little bit. Most people can. You know, it's like a diet. You alter your behavior for a couple of months, like, yeah, I'm doing this. And then that temptation rolls back around, and you're like, oh, I'm mm-hmm. eating that Twinkie. You know, and until something changes at your core about why I'm dieting, or until something right. changes in your core about why I, like behavior modification inside of our faith is all these other things, I'll use the term worldly things, should fall away naturally out of the expression of your faith in God living inside of you, not because it's a list of rules and things mm-hmm. you have to do. And so you shouldn't have to be the behavior modification police, you know, and I don't think we're supposed to. But I think that change, if you want it to last, it has to come from deep inside, just like being an alcoholic. When you decide, when you bottom out and you decide, I'm going to make a change, it's because you realize there is a systemic problem that you have to get worked out, because you have exhausted all the other possibilities. You've hit rock bottom and you don't have another option. And so you get to that point where now it's real life long change, you know, because it's a deeper level. It's a deeper root of why you need to change or why you want to change. People telling you need to change doesn't matter. You know, you hurt people all the time when you're in the midst of addiction, and you don't want to, but you do. And they'll tell you all the time, oh, don't do this, don't do this. And you're like, yeah, I don't want to do it. But it doesn't matter until you realize, I have to change. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Lady Rock, on a Friday,
we're going in deeper.
What do you got?
So last night, Alec Baldwin had his sit down with George Stephanopoulos explaining what happened on the set of his would-be Western film Rust when Helena Hutchins, director of cinematography, was fatally shot by a prop gun that Alec Baldwin supposedly was holding. The first topic that Alec spoke on was how the gun that killed Helena went off, even though Alec claimed he didn't pull the trigger.
Now, in this scene, I'm going to cock the gun. And I said, do you want to see that? And she said, yes. So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
Oh.
So yeah, this Colt 45, you just pulled
the hammer as far back as I could without cocking the actual
gun. And you're holding on to the hammer.
I'm holding that. I'm just showing. I go, how about that? Does that work? Do you see that? You see that? She goes, yeah, that's good. I let go of the hammer. Bang, the gun goes off.
Wow. Okay, now that's the first time, because we've all been speculating and we've all been going over news reports that we heard, and he didn't pull the trigger and there could be a hair trigger and stuff like that. So with a Colt 45, when you pull it back, you have two clicks. We talked about this the other day, going off half-cocked. Going off half-cocked became like, don't have all the information. But back in the day, it meant don't have your gun half-cocked, because if you go to draw, it will not fire. So on the first click, it won't fire if you squeeze the trigger. So then if he says he pulled it all the way back, there's two notches. You hear click, click. It's live and ready to go. But if he had his finger on the trigger, when you let go of the hammer, it fires. Or there are some Colt 45s. Well, no, actually, because I think you still had to hold the trigger. They would call it was called fanning. You would take your hand and you would hit the back of the hammer, and you would run your hand up just over it repeatedly, and it would, because you were holding the trigger, it would pull the hammer back, release it, pull the hammer back, release it, so you could shoot it as fast as you could. It's called fanning. And so I'm curious if unwittingly he pulls this back so she can see, because I was told they were going through the blocking of the shot, and what they were looking at was how things were going to look into the camera. And so they had, it was supposed to be a dummy round, and in a revolver you can see the bullets, and that's why they had the dummy round in there, because otherwise it would look unloaded.
Right.
And so as he pulls this back and she's looking for it through the camera to see it, she would have seen, when you click the second time, it's where it rolls that around into the chamber. So you would then see the bullets in the rest of the chamber. And so, man, if he was holding that trigger, the second he lets go, it's firing. So
yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And, of course, like you said, this gun is known for having a sensitive trigger. But his explanation still isn't sitting well with a lot of gun experts, like Steve Wolf, who has made a living being an expert movie armorer. He stated, and this is something to really consider, he said, quote, "If we introduce the idea that guns go off by themselves," meaning like that's what Alex is saying, "then," he said, "this reduces everyone's responsibility going forward. Anyone who's ever involved in an accidental shooting can now use the Alec Baldwin defense if it gains any traction. And that's a really bad thing to do because it's untrue. And it takes away personal responsibility, which is the essence of safety."
Absolutely. They talk about guns.
Which is something I didn't even think about.
Guns don't kill people. People do. You know, because we want to change. We want to take all the guns away. Fine. We can debate that too. But the reality is there's an element of personal responsibility to it.
Right.
There's broken people that shoot people because they're broken.
Right. It's just I feel sorry for Baldwin because I know that he probably, it was a complete accident.
Absolutely.
But of course, then that is a big hurdle. Or there's a big step to take when you say, yes, I did kill someone.
Oh, like, absolutely.
That would be a hard thing to live with. But if he doesn't say that, if he still says, I didn't pull the trigger, if he doesn't take ownership of it, well, then it's like what this armorer guy is saying. Like, well, then a gun can just go off at any time on its own.
The quote from this special that I saw Alec have was, "I don't know who is to blame. I just know it's not me." You know?
He said that?
Yeah. That was big quote from it. Like, so again, like we talked about this yesterday, he's mitigating his liability right now.
Well, and also too, I mean, we're forgetting that he was doing his job. And ultimately, I feel bad for the guy.
I do too.
Because a live ammunition shouldn't have been on the set to begin with. That person,
whoever did that, is in the major wrong.
Right.
The other reason you have the safety protocols is to keep accidents from happening.
Right. And so I don't
they
know
didn't
if,
follow those.
Right. And then you think, well, that was Alex's job. Maybe he was a producer on the movie. I don't know. But that's where the lawyers come in.
Exactly.
You know. But another topic that Alec opened up about was that as what happened directly after the gun went off.
"Well, everyone is horrified. It's loud. They don't have their earplugs in. No one was. The gun was supposed to be empty. She goes down. I thought to myself, did she faint? The notion that there was a live round in that gun did not dawn on me till probably 45 minutes to an hour later.
45 minutes to an hour?
Well, she's laying there and I go, did she get it by wadding? Was there a blank? Sometimes those blank rounds have a wadding inside. No one could understand. Did she have a heart attack?
Did you go up to her? Did you back away?
I went up to her and then we were told to get out of the building. We were forced to get out of the building. The medics came in. I mean, I stood over her for 60 seconds and she just lay there kind of in shock.
Was she conscious?
My recollection is yes.
My recollection. That's where you're like watching your legal self.
Careful.
Yeah, that would be a real. And I get what he's saying too about the wadding and stuff like that, because I've heard of that happening before. You know, like it's not a lead projectile, but the wadding of the dummy round comes out and it can hit and it can hurt, but it usually doesn't kill. But it's interesting how they would insulate him from that. But going back to what you had said, Rock, is at the end of the day, when you go through all of this and all the lawyering and things like that, this is still And as far as everybody knows, an accident. And I still believe that in my soul. It would be crazy to find out that there was more to this story. But
I believe, if anything, it was an accident on Baldwin's part. Now, sure, the live ammunition
Who did that on the set,
yes. I don't know if that is an accident.
That, to me, seems so sus, you know.
Right.
But on his part, he has to deal with the fact that he inadvertently killed somebody, you know,
right,
and the rest of his life. And so it's weird, though, because as I see him, the way he's telling these stories and the way he's doing things, it seems very mentally protective to himself,
mm-hmm,
to be like, it was this person's fault, it was this fault, it was the breakdown of this and all, mm-hmm, of these things to deflect the gravity of the situation and what he knows he even inadvertently did.
And, you know, it's like that fight or flight. You know, he's in that fight situation, and it is like a self-preservation situation, because I would have to think, you know, he's got kids, he's got a wife, and if he let himself go down that path, who knows how that would end? That could end tragically for him,
yeah,
you know? So it's hard, because I want to watch the special. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm planning on doing that this weekend. But I know he gets very emotional, because he says that he actually goes to talk to this woman's husband and son, and he has to deal with that, facing them.
I'm glad he did that,
yeah,
you know, like, because it would be real easy. Again, lawyers go, don't go. You
right.
can say something you don't want to say, and it could cause, like, so I'm really glad that he went on a human level, mm-hmm, to do that. That would be a really, really hard thing, because, I mean, you'd be like, look, I didn't mean to. It was a total accident.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. In words, I'm sorry don't matter.
Yeah, and another hard part is he's in the public eye,
yeah,
and everybody is quick to judge and assume, and we really don't know all the details.
That's one of those things where you go and you know it's going to be a bad meeting, and you know it's going to be a bad 1-2 hours out of your life, and you just suck it up and you just let them hit you with everything. You know,
mm-hmm,
you should have done this. Yep. You're a horrible person, okay? You know,
oof,
like, you just let
so
that
hard.
Person just grieve, and just the stages of grief and anger, and get it
right.
out, and you just have to take it.
Well, and he, you know, he's probably been a producer on many
sure.
sets, and so maybe if it all comes, you know, once all the dust settles and we find out that maybe he cut a few corners.
Right.
But then to think that those corners that he cut on other sets didn't matter, but this one did, and it actually took a life.
Right.
That's going to be a hard responsibility to accept, because you just don't think, oh, I'm just going to cut this corner here and there. It's not a big deal. And then you find out.
It's interesting that the armorist, the girl, has, I feel like we're doing a crime podcast now, you and me, Rock.
We have listened to a lot of them.
I know. We could do this, and neither one of us is that annoying Brit girl.
Moving on.
What is that
on.
One again?
No, hopefully she doesn't listen to
this. What's
the
name of that one?
I don't want to talk.
Please
about
tell me.
No, because
true
that's
crime
mean.
Podcast
no, it's not
or something.
True crime. I have it in my phone.
It's not important.
Crime Junkies. Crime Junkies.
It's not
I got
important.
It. Yeah, it's Crime Junkies.
We're not going
to. Listen to Crime Junkies.
No,
and
stop.
Just, no, I'm trying to promote their podcast. Listen to Crime Junkies if you like crime stuff, and then you can email me and tell me if Brit is not the most annoying person on the planet.
That's Wally@wayfm.com. What were you going to say, though? You were going to say something.
I got sidetracked.
Because you
got so
I'm
embraced.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm very passionate about that. Okay, so we're doing a crime podcast. And we're talking about
because you were saying something. Oh, and I was saying he cut corners
mm-hmm.
on other sets. As a producer.
Yeah.
And then it
oh,
took a life.
Thank you, Rock. See, this is why you're better than Brit. see, like, you actually bring something to the table.
I'm sorry.
What's,
wait.
See?
What?
See, you know it.
Okay,
now,
moving on.
Now I forgot again. no, like, cutting corners. Oh, dadgummit. My head, man, is getting so worried. My memory is going on me really badly. Cutting corners. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Don't anyone say anything. I will not get it back. That the armorist, the girl who was relatively inexperienced.
The actual armorist for
right,
the movie.
That everybody was pointing the finger at early on. It's fascinating that now Baldwin is the story and mm-hmm. this girl hasn't been in the news at all, you know.
No.
And all the lawsuits against him.
But maybe her lawyers have
I don't
told
know.
Her don't. Talk.
Yeah, but usually people are still, you'd think they would still be going, hey, how did the live round get there? That's what we need
right.
to focus on.
Exactly. But also, if you remember, we found out later that there was a bunch of staff that had quit or sent in anonymous letters or something saying that they were worried about the safety of the whole set. And so if that comes into light and if that's actually true, well, then it was something that you could have seen to begin with, but you chose to ignore.
So wait. What you're saying is
safety is not safe. Okay, stop. Okay. Stop, that's mean.
That's the podcast. You have to check it out.
No, it's so don't. Great. It's terrible. All right. That's terrible.
Let's do some birthdays.
We're sorry.
What we're saying is...
Okay, we only
have... You want me to do birthdays?
Okay, we do have a birthday, and it's right here. Abigail to
Abigail,
my dad and my little brother.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I guess they were born on the same day.
That's nice. Cool.
My life would not be complete without either of them. My dad and I love to watch YouTube together. My brother and I love to watch Cocoa Melon and have eggnog.
Oh, Cocoa Melon. Oh, eggnog. I have eggnog in my fridge that I didn't open up. So happy birthday.
Birthday question is from Nick and Tasha, and it's for Wally. If the Irwin brothers made a movie of your life,
like where you're going,
story, would you rather be played by Bobby Bones or Ryan Seacrest?
I would go with Bradley Cooper. Would be the first.
Not an option.
Let me look at that nose.
That would be.
Let me look at that nose.
Really, the best option for me, you know, just looks wise and stuff.
Have you ever watched like movies where they're based on a true story and then they show the real person at the end? And you're like, oh,
yeah,
they got it. They got an update.
Yeah, they did. Or then some of them where you're like, wow, that person really looks like them. Like, there's like some that I've just been amazed by.
I thought that the one that you did the voiceover for that guy looked like that guy, the football guy.
Oh, for American Underdog?
Yeah.
Kurt Warner.
Levi looked like him.
Yeah. And,
but he doesn't look like a college professional.
No, he got jacked for like Shazam, I think. Uh-oh. And
it looked older.
Yeah. I think we're going to give away some tickets to American Underdog next week on the show. Cool. So that'll be cool. But then also, they have a new movie coming out in next year. The Irwins did.
Life?
They've already shot it. It's called Unbreakable Boy with Zachary Levi. So they did two films with him.
No way.
I guess they had shot that one first before this one. It looks phenomenal. Like, it looks... Did you guys ever see the movie Wonder?
Yes.
I remember the trailer.
I did.
Wonder's so great. It's got Owen Wilson in it, and I think Julia Roberts.
And the kid who...
Yeah.
He has, like, disabilities,
wears the space
but he
helmet.
Wears the
yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, that movie is one that they should show in junior high to every kid at the beginning of the year to remind you to not be a horrible human being to people, you know? And so, like, that was such a great movie. And this movie has been compared to that. And the trailer that I saw for it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm in. I'm 100% in. Wish I was in it. So I won't be able to talk about it like the other ones.
Okay, but. So back to
I've got to go Bobby Bones.
Really?
Because he looks more like me because we wear glasses. He is more of a radio guy because he's still doing it. I guess Seacrest still is, but Seacrest, I don't know, they're both bad options, honestly. Ugh.
Okay.
That's a
Would
great
you ever
question.
Play if you had the option to act
and
as
be
one
Bobby
of
Bones?
Like if you were to be Bobby Bones or Ryan Seacrest in a movie, like you were there. Fill in.
Yes, I would be there. I would be either one of those people, and then I would be the real them. Like for Ryan,
you know that.
For Ryan Seacrest, I'd be like, "What? What's going on? I don't know anything. Everybody do everything for me, but I'm going to work a lot." And Bobby Bones, I would just be obliviously
boring.
Ridiculously boring, and survive on the people around me. Again, all of that, everything I just said, every word of what I just said is grounded in nothing but jealousy. There you go. All right. Weekend plans, weekend plans. Everybody's got them weekend plans. All right.
Yes.
Lady Rock, weekend plans, go.
Well, I had lunch plans, but they had to get canceled.
Oh, no.
But I understand.
Oh, was it your friend that you had the present for?
Yes.
Ah,
but her little,
give it to us.
No, you wouldn't like it anyway.
Oh, what is it?
I can't tell you. What if she listens?
Oh, I don't know.
But her little girl is sick, so I have to reschedule.
Parents always use that as an excuse when they don't want to do something. My kid's sick.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's a great out. It's a great out.
Oh, my goodness. So who knows?
Weekend plans are open.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
I'll update you on Monday.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing. It's because, you know, the last couple weeks though we were home, like it felt busy because of Thanksgiving, but this weekend I've got no I've got no concrete plans this weekend.
Nice.
I'm going to play a lot of video games and watch TV.
So, Wally, about your weekend plans?
Nothing. Nothing. Not doing anything either. Just as boring as y'all. So.
We are a fun group today.
Okay. We'll all update each other on Monday.
Yeah, because who knows what could happen. Could be wonderful.
That's right.
All right, that's going to do it for your Aftercast. Thanks for being a potty.